Amen. We're going to begin in the book of First Chronicles today. And the title of the message this morning is called, In All Things, Give Thanks. And you might turn this down a little bit, maybe in the monitors or something up here. I feel like I'm a little bit in a box, maybe. A lot of times, you know, we give thanks, and it's for things that we receive, like, hey, thanks for the Christmas present. Thanks for the whatever. You know, something comes to us, and it's kind of like part of our cultural response to say thank you. And I think at times we end up almost becoming like that becomes our groove. We only thank when something good comes our way. But we forget that we're always to be thankful. And that's really what I want to share this morning as we enter into this season for Thanksgiving. It is to remember that we're always to give thanks. And I think we can if we recognize from the scripture why it is we give thanks. And this scripture we're going to read in just a moment here is really, it highlights why we give thanks. And yeah, there are places in the Bible where it says, thank the Lord because of a blessing you've received. But foundationally, it has to go further than that. Because what if you never receive anything? Or what if what you receive are bad things in your life? What happens if hard times come your way? Are we still to be thankful? That's the question. And the answer is yes. Always to be thankful. So let's pray, and we'll look in this scripture here this morning and try to learn this concept. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to enlighten us with your word. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that every one of us here would be able to draw some truth or understanding from your word this morning that would affect our life and change us and turn us into thankful people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. First Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. And here's the reason. That for in there is because of. Here's the reason. Bottom line, he is good. I mean, if there's no other reason to be thankful, if everything else in your life falls apart, he is still good. And yet there are times that we as people question the goodness of God, especially when a bad thing comes our way. But I want you to sort of blow through all that stuff and get the foundational truth in your heart that God is good. He is good forever. He can't be but good. And because God is good, that's a reason to be thankful. Every one of us today, no matter what you're going through in life, should be able to sit here, lift your voice or your heart or your hands to God and say, thank you, Lord. Just because he's good. And another reason, not only is he good, forever good, always good, but his steadfast love endures forever. How many of you know forever is a long time? How long does God's steadfast love last? Forever. There's no end to it. Matter of fact, God is love. But this is a really one of that special word called, in the Hebrew language, you got to cough it out, chesed. It's a Hebrew word. And it's a word that is so beautiful, we can't even describe it in the English language. Steadfast love doesn't even begin to describe what this is all about. It's like we find limits in our English language to describe what this is. I've shared this before, and I want to share it again today. But there's a man named Chad Bird who's a theologian, and he talked about this word, hesed, before. And here's what he said. If there is one Hebrew word that encapsulates who God is and how he acts toward us, it is this Hebrew word, hesed. This word has been translated in many ways. Covenant loyalty, loving kindness, faithful love, graciousness, and mercy, and all the various forms of that. And again, there's many, many ways we try to define it, but they all come up short of what it really means. None of them are really adequate to translate what chesed is. And then he says this, I love this. He says, trying to compress this word into one English word is like trying to catch a waterfall in a cup. It's like you grab a cup, you walk over to Niagara Falls and say, I'm going to capture the essence of chesed in this cup. It's no way. It is so much more beyond what we could ever describe or define. And that is forever. This word chesed of God is forever. And it includes love. It includes loving kindness. It includes covenant loyalty. It includes faithfulness. It includes commitment to you. It includes mercy. It includes graciousness. But it's all the above. So why can you be thankful? Because God is good and his chesed is forever. This word is truly untranslatable love. I'm still reading from Chad Bird. It is a no holds barred mercy. It is the kind of fidelity that will be faithful to us even if it costs him the lifeblood of his son. Chesed is the kind of love that chases us to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus chased you. Sometimes we say something that's kind of funny. It's not really true, but we say things like, one day I found the Lord. Well, you didn't really find him. He found you and he pursued you and he chased you. He chases us to the ends of the earth and he places us atop the shoulders of God and he rejoices and he dances all the way home. There's joy in heaven over one sinner who turns to him. If there was really one English word that captures what chesed is, it is Jesus himself. He is the chesed of the Father, made flesh for us. Isn't that awesome? That's what is forever. This word, the chesed of God, is forever. And I don't know about you, but that's something to be thankful for. We are here today, we have been recipients of this from the day we've been born, even before we were born. Well, I love the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And that chesed of God was looking down and preserving and forming his body inside of his mother's womb. And he had a purpose for his life. It's always been with us, even though there are times we don't even recognize it. But he says, give thanks to the Lord because he's good and because his chesed is forever. And I could close the Bible right now and be done. But I want to share some examples. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice. What's it say there? Always. Yeah, but it's Monday. Yeah, but I had a bad day. Yeah, but my dog died. Rejoice always. Why? Because God is good. And his chesed lasts forever. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. All? Yes, in all circumstances. Why? Not because of the circumstances changed, but because he who is good has never changed. He's still the same as he was yesterday, when everything was great in your life, and when everything came crashing down today, he's still good, and he's still, his chesed is lasting still forever, even though circumstances in your life may have changed and gone south. And so I can rejoice always, I can pray without ceasing, and I can give thanks in all circumstances. And it says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People always want to know, what's the will of God? Well, this is one of them. To give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God. We have a story in the Bible. Paul and Silas was in prison. They were out preaching the gospel, thrown in prison. Back in those days, prisons didn't have heaters and air conditioners and TVs and weight rooms and good food. I mean, it was a dungeon thrown down in the darkest places. There were probably rats, human feces, terrible, terrible situations. And these guys were thrown in there. And the Bible says at midnight, they were griping and complaining because God didn't save them. How many people's Bible says that? No, at midnight, they were praising God. Why? Because he is good. And his chesed lasts forever. No matter what happens in my life, he's still good and he's worthy of my praise. And so here is Paul and Silas at midnight, not sleeping, but praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening. And God did a great miracle that night. You know, he opened the doors of the prison with an earthquake. And that night, the Philippian jailer and his family gave their hearts to Jesus. And the church at Philippi started. Why? Because people gave thanks to the Lord, no matter what their circumstances were. And God used it to glorify his son, Jesus. We have another story about Job. Many of us know the story of Job. He lost everything he had in one day, everything that was important to him, his family, his children, his possessions, his animals. What would happen to us if in one day everything that was dear to us in life was taken away? Well, here's what Job did. It says he fell down and he said these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." Kurt, you brought that up there earlier today. We're not taking any of our toys with us. Naked we came, naked we return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why could he do that? Because God is good. And his chesed lasts forever. And no matter what happens to you, Job, he knew that he could fall down on his face in the worst day of his life and give praise unto God. You see how this knowing who God is becomes foundational to our ability to actually give thanks to him in every circumstance, to be able to walk in the will of God in terms of this thanksgiving, because I know who he is. He's good, and his chesed lasts forever. It says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Right? That's what we do. We sin in our circumstances sometimes. Sometimes we charge God with doing wrong. Sometimes we question whether he loves us or if he forgot about us. You know, all those things come up. But if we can kind of blow through all that and remember that he's good, and that his mercy, his loving kindness, his enduring love, his covenant faithfulness lasts forever. That has not changed, even though my circumstances have. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, there's no way they could find a fault with Daniel to have him thrown into prison. So some of the people who were his enemies made a law that if anybody prayed to God, they would be thrown into prison. Well, guess what? They knew they would get Daniel because he's one who prayed always. And so they passed a law. Daniel, like always, goes up and he begins to pray. And here's what it says in Daniel 6. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, that's the document, basically the law, that says anybody who prays will be put into prison. He went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber opened toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. It was part of his life, 3 times a day, to go up, open his window, face Jerusalem, and begin to pray and to give thanks to God, because God hasn't changed, even though my circumstances have. And so here he is, standing in the face of this and giving thanks to his God. Jonah, was in the belly of a fish. That was his own doing, wasn't it? He turned away from what God's plan was for his life. He ran the other way. And gracefully, the Lord began to prepare a storm and a fish and all these things for him. So Jonah ends up in the belly of the fish. And I love the fact that when he was down there, what was that like, I wonder? You ever sat and tried to meditate on that for a while? What was it like in there? Had to be kind of nasty. But he says here, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is his prayer in the midst of the fish. And I love these stories. These are just a few. They're throughout the Word of God. And it's because people have understood that God is good. They don't base their judgment of God on what happens in their life. God loves me when good things happen. He doesn't love me anymore because this happened. That's not the way it is. He is good, and his chesed is forever. If you can get that into your mind and into your heart, you'll be able to be thankful to the Lord all the days of your life. I want to take just a minute and talk about the first Thanksgiving. The very first Thanksgiving, which we all remember, is the story of the pilgrims. There was a young man there, a young boy, very young. His name was Squanto, Indian. Before the pilgrims came, there were some other people who came earlier, and they actually captured Squanto and some of the people in his tribe and took them as slaves into Spain. But while they were taken captive, the amazing thing happened was there was a Spanish monk who bought this boy. And he began to teach him English, and he taught him Christianity. So that's a good thing, isn't it? You might think, wow, this poor young boy was taken away from his family. He was sold as a slave. What a terrible thing. But yet, look how the Lord intervened. And now he's over in this far distant country, doesn't know anybody, but he's taken in by this monk who teaches him about Jesus and teaches him how to speak English. And Squanto desired to go back home, and so eventually they made an arrangement. He was able to get a job and save some money and get a ticket on another boat to come back to America. And this was 1619 when he came back, and he had been gone for 10 years. When he got back, he found out that his entire tribe had been wiped out because of some disease. Everybody was dead. Can you imagine being gone from your family for 10 years and you finally get a ride home and you have this kind of joy and anticipation in your heart, like, I'm going to get to see my family again. And then you get there and everybody's gone. And you kind of wonder, what in the world, God, what's going on? He could be asking questions that we might ask. Why did God allow this to happen? Why were my loved ones taken away while I was gone? Well, the answer came about a year later. There were pilgrims that came, 1620. When they got there, they actually landed at the place where Squanto's tribe lived. They came in there. And can you imagine their surprise when this young boy, who's an Indian, comes up and says, "Hello, how are you today?" He's speaking English. Why? Because God prepared this ahead of time. God had a plan. God used a bad circumstance to make way for those pilgrims to get a foothold into our country. Don't you think that Squanto could be a thankful boy if he could see the big picture, that God is good and that God's chesed lasts forever? It says here, the pilgrim governor, William Bradford, wrote these things in his diary. Squanto became a special instrument sent by God for our good. They recognized it as God. He showed us how to plant corn, where to take fish, and how to procure other commodities. He was also our pilot to bring us to unknown places for our profit. And he never left us until he died. And when Squanto died, here's what Bradford wrote in his diary. He desired that the governor would pray for him, that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven. And then Squanto gave all of his possessions to the pilgrims as remembrances of his love. Doesn't that sound like a young man who didn't become bitter, even though bitter things happened to him? Even though hardships took place in his life, he was still a man who could recognize the goodness of God in the land of the living. And because of that, he was a man who was generous and kind and loving because he knew something of God. That was the first Thanksgiving, what we celebrate as the first Thanksgiving. But actually, Thanksgiving Day, what we celebrate today as Thanksgiving Day, was proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln. And it was during the Civil War, which again was another terrible time in the history of our nation. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed, brother against brother, family against family. The nation was torn apart in so many ways. And here at the end of that, near the end of that war, there was a lady who had been praying for like a year and a half, asking President Lincoln if he would proclaim a day of Thanksgiving. And she kept kind of like, she wouldn't let up. She kept after him and after him. Eventually, he relented and said, "We're going to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving." And I have the whole thing here. You can find it online. I just want to read a couple of excerpts. Abraham Lincoln was saying, this year is drawing to a close. And this was, I think, in 1864. It might have been 65, but it was near the end of the Civil War. There had already been a couple of years, two, maybe 3 years of all the hardships. But he says this, as we're drawing to its close, the year has been filled with blessings. What insight is that? To be able to live in the midst of a civil war, all the decisions that had to be made, you know, putting people, killing people, sending armies. He made a lot of decisions like that. And to be able to step back away from that and say, this year has been filled with blessings. I mean, he had to have insight into something greater. The blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. He goes on to say that we are prone to forget the source from which these blessings come. Isn't that still true today? We are prone to forget where these blessings have come from. And he goes down at the end of that paragraph and he says, they have come from the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. I love that. Again, it's a man in the midst of a horrendous time in our nation, and yet he's able to turn his eyes to the Lord and to give thanks and to proclaim a day of thanksgiving in the midst of all that suffering. He said they were in the midst of a civil war with unequaled magnitude and severity. And yet in the middle of that, here's what he says, in the middle of all this, it seems we've been able to maintain peace with foreign states. Order has been maintained. Laws have been respected and obeyed. Harmony has prevailed. And everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, we've had this harmony. And that theater has become greatly contracted by the advancing army. So he's saying, yeah, there's terrible times, but look, there's good things that are here as well that we can point to God as the source of all this. And then he goes on to say this, no human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy, has said. I love that. I love that we had a leader like this during that time who was able to see that God is involved God somehow still has a hand in a day that was just horrendous. And he was able to look up and say, hey, we as a nation need to remember to give thanks in everything. And so he made a declaration to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And here we are, 2024, we're still celebrating the same thing. Last Thursday of November. But it was put in place during the time of the Civil War. And he goes on, I'll finish with this last paragraph. I recommend to them, to the people here, that while offering up ascriptions justly due him, in other words, you're giving thanks to God for such singular deliverance and blessing, that we would also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged. And I fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of our nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with his divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Isn't that awesome? Seeing that God is involved, seeing that God has purposes bigger than we understand at times, knowing that God does intervene as he sees fit in the lives of human beings, and if he sees fit to throw us in the belly of a whale or to take everything we own away or to have us in prison, he has a purpose greater than we could understand. And in the midst of that, we can still praise him. We can give thanks unto him because he's good. He's good, and his chesed will last forever. Finally, Romans 1:21, probably one of the greatest, I'll call it, affronts of mankind would be that somehow we would forget or neglect to thank God. And in Romans 1:21, as it describes in that chapter, the kind of the spiral downhill of mankind moving further and further away from God, one of the things he describes that leads to that is, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Not being thankful to God is a mark of a nation that is moving away from him and in decline. And then finally, Luke 17. Jesus was walking down the road one day, and there were 10 lepers. Leprosy was a terrible disease. When you had it, you were separated from everybody. It was contagious, and so they would put you off by yourself. You couldn't really go and hug your family anymore. You know, you were just isolated. If people came down the road, you had to cover yourself and call out that you were unclean and don't get near me. It was just a terrible disease. And here these 10 men who had leprosy came up one day, and Jesus was walking by, and they called out to be healed. One of them returned. Jesus healed these guys. I mean, the worst thing in their life was probably contracting this leprosy. And they asked Jesus to heal him, and he did, because he is good and his chesed lasts forever. He did a good thing, a blessed thing in these men's lives. You would think at least after receiving this, they would come back and say, thank you, Lord. But only one did. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And here's the words of Jesus. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? You know, what a tragedy it would be if we forget to thank God not just for the blessings, but even for the hardships that come our way. He's worthy to be praised. We can give thanks to him because he's good and because his love endures forever. His chesed lasts forever. This is why we thank him. This is why we praise him. This is why we can stand in the midst of whatever circumstance we would ever face and give thanks to our Lord. So I'd like you to stand with me and think this week, maybe even think today, what am I thankful for? Maybe there's lots of things you could be thankful for, but maybe there's some things you're sad about. Maybe there's some things you're grieved about. But my question would be, can you still thank the Lord? I hope you can. These words of Jesus have just been kind of ringing in my heart here the last couple of days as I've been thinking about this. And the question is, where are the nine? You know, Jesus was surprised that having received such a blessing from God, they wouldn't come back and say, thank you, Lord. So I don't want to be that way. I don't want to forget, and I don't want to neglect. And I don't want to just thank him for the good things in my life. I have so many good things I could be thankful for. I could thank the Lord from now till the day I die and not say it enough. But I want to thank him just because he's good and because his chesed lasts forever. It's a beautiful thing. You have something, Gordy?
Yes. So I was just thinking about Job and how he, if anybody had a reason to sin and accuse God, it was Job for all he lost. And yet, he didn't sin. Right. And we can go through hard stuff and we can say, well, I've got a good reason to curse God or blame God or whatever we're going to do. Or we can do like Job and not sin. Yeah. And God's word gives us direction on how to handle these things. Like asking the prayer that the Lord gave, the Lord's prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or we can think about Jesus, who left us an example. He resisted. We have not resisted unto blood, but he did. And we can resist the temptations that come our way and call out to Jesus when we go through stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Gordon. Yep, I think if all of us were to sit down and write our story out, there would be plenty of things to, plenty of tragedies, plenty of hardship, plenty of sorrow, plenty of bad things. But I hope if you could write your story out, even with all that, at the end, you would say, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he's good. His mercy lasts forever. Father, I thank you for these truths that we see in your word. Shown us these, Lord God, so we could know how to relate to you, how to praise you, how to be thankful, Lord. I pray that during this week when our whole nation sets aside a time to be thankful, that we would move beyond just a dinner, just beyond a celebration, just beyond a family gathering, but to remember who you are and that you are the one to be thanked. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who's struggling in their acknowledging the goodness of God, that you'd help them to see beyond their circumstance to who you really are. Help us all to be a people of praise and thanksgiving. I ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.